Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is Bible Call Tape number 311, Reasonings for Instrumental Music Examined, Part 2. God has always expected men to obey His revealed will. Punishment has often been the lot of men who, in seeking to worship God, do so in ways pleasing only to themselves. We, as Christians, must seek, therefore, to please God even in things such as the use of instruments of music in worship, which the traditions of our society name as being unimportant. This is part two of a series of four studies which examine arguments or reasonings for the use of instruments of music in worship. We seek to find scriptural reason for accepting or rejecting each argument. This lesson examines the argument which claims that there can be no objection to the use of instruments of music in worship because they were used to summon worshipers to the Jewish services, and the apostles went there to worship. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47 shows that the apostles and their converts met daily in the temple. The times spoken of in this scripture were good times for the early church. The converts had the goodwill of all of the people and the animosity of the Jewish Sanhedrin, which had engineered Jesus' death only a few weeks before, had been temporarily forgotten. At this time, however, the precepts of the early church were neither well-formed nor yet committed to writing. With the exception of the basic doctrines of Jesus' sacrifice, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, little had been presented by the apostles as doctrine for the early converts. All efforts were, at this time, directed toward the delivery to the Jewish nation of the news that the Messiah had come, had died, and had been resurrected, according to the ancient prophecy. It was at this time probable that the worship of the early Christians was little different than before their conversion. Most of the converts had been Jews by birth, Jews by extensive education, and Jews by devout lifelong practice. The passage of time and the continued teaching by the apostles would yet be needed to change these habits. Thus, it seems reasonable to assume that the worship of the individual early convert might have included the Sabbath or Saturday Jewish worship, as well as the first day of the week, Sunday, observance of Jesus' life and sacrifice, the Lord's Supper. Probably, however, these converts refrained from the Jewish blood sacrifices since even the earliest of them were quite aware that Jesus' sacrifice was all that was required. The Apostle Paul, after having visited Greece, participated in Jewish worship after his return to Jerusalem. Read Acts chapter 1, verse 26, and 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. Paul, for one, was willing to conduct himself in a manner which would not offend his lifelong friends, kinsmen, and fellow Jews, so that they would be open to response to the gospel of Christ. This same Paul, however, wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, speaking of the Jewish law of Moses, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Thus, Paul knew that his participation in Jewish ritual would not justify him before God. If, indeed, instruments of music were used to summon worshipers, or were used within the Jewish ritual, and, if indeed, the apostles and their converts went there to worship, this failed entirely to influence the music of the New Testament church. The scriptures command singing, and cannot be interpreted as including the use of instruments of music. Also clear, well-documented historical evidence shows that the Christians of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th centuries worshipped without using instruments of music. As shown in part 1 of this series, the Bible commands singing. Therefore, if we are not to act beyond or without faith, We must confine the music within Christian worship to singing. Thus, the argument is false that states that we may use instruments of music in Christian worship today because the apostles were once called to the temple for worship by instruments of music. There is no instruction in the New Testament whereby the use of instruments is scriptural, and history shows that the early Christians interpreted the apostles' instructions to mean that instruments should not be used. Thank you for your call.
The message which you have